God wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. He loves the world. It is His intent and desire as a God of love that everyone be given that which is best and that which is good. But there are things in the way. And as we discussed last week, a part of the problem is that we as human beings have the opportunity to have a role. As a matter of fact, we have the role. If God were in control, all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But God has allowed each one of us to be in control of the lives that we are living. And so with the agricultural idea of planting a plant, sowing a seed, and gaining a fruit, which is fixed in the natural realm. And in just a moment, we're going to see that is an absolute fixed law in the spiritual realm as well. So we have a parable here. We have a parable of planting good seed and gaining good fruit. We have a parable of planting bad seed and receiving bad fruit. So when God says in Genesis 1 that the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. Whatever fruit we have in our lives, it's there because we put it there. There is not one weakness, sin, problem in my life or your life that we are not fully and completely responsible for it being there, and that we are not fully and completely able to remove it. And so when the scriptures give us the absolute fixed law in the spiritual realm, I want you to notice who's responsible. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man or a woman sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. So we see two seeds. We see the seeds of the weeds and the terrible things that came as a result of the curse. When Adam and Eve sowed the seeds of sin, they're here now. And the weeds are just illustrative of what Adam and Eve did. What Adam and Eve brought into the world, the weeds, the thorns, the thistles, the Bermuda grass, whatever it is that invades our and causes us problems in our gardens. It started with Adam and Eve, and it's never stopped since. Paul makes this point in, you know, I wasn't going to have any more red up there. Sorry, guys. As through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. What's going on in my life today? The weaknesses that I have, the frustrations that I have, the emotions I can't control, they're there because I sowed them. They're there because I didn't weed them out. They're there as a result of choices that I made. Death didn't spread automatically. God didn't do it. Death spread because you and me, my parents, your parents, our ancestors, all the way back to Adam and Eve, we all did what Eve did in the garden. As Paul told us, I was alive. When I was born, I was alive. I stayed alive. I didn't sow anything that would destroy me, just like Adam and Eve did not for however long it took. I was alive. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was given to bring life, brought death to me. Now, each one of us has a commandment, or maybe two, or maybe four, or maybe eight, or maybe more, that this has happened to us. We sowed, we broke the commandment, we enjoyed the fruit, and that fruit is what we struggle with day after day after day. So, we always know what we have sown, because if we haven't sown it, it's not a problem. As you read through the lusts of the flesh, the ones you've sown are the ones you read and say, I'm struggling with this one. The ones that we have never sown, the ones that we have never opened, the ones that we have never tasted or touched, they're not interesting to us. We didn't sow that. That's not a weed in my garden. Now, it might be a weed in your garden because you sowed it. So as you read through the works of the flesh, the fornication, the adultery, the uncleanness, the idolatry and sorcery, the anger and the wrath and the jealousy, the drunkenness and such like, we can read those. And most of us haven't sown too many of them. Because each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his or her own lust. You know, or at least you can find out what these fruits are. And then comes the process of digging them out by the roots. And I think most of us have some things that we did when we were young that we struggled with when we became a Christian. And for the first few years we struggled with, but now we don't struggle with them anymore. We got them up by the roots. But there are some things that the roots are still there and the fruit is still being produced. Because each lust produces its own fruit, and each fruit is produced by its own lust. So when I feel a lust, I'm sowing a seed. When I feed a lust, I'm strengthening a root. When I feel the lust, if I don't crush it and dig it out, it's going to produce once again. So, but we can do what nature can't do. The treasure of our own heart can move back and forth. When Jesus says, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit, he was not speaking of the weaknesses of Christians, because sometimes a Christian has a bad fruit. Now, most of the time, nobody sees it but me and God. But I know it's there. And I pluck it. And I produce a different fruit. We'll look in just a moment. The fruits of repentance will always undo the fruits of lust. So a bad tree does not bear a good tree does not bear bad fruit. The only way we can keep that from happening is to remove each one when it comes. Because, unfortunately, when I lust, sin comes alive, and I die, I've got a new fruit on my tree. And it's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's a bad fruit. And I have to get rid of that bad fruit, because a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. And therefore, the quicker I can get it off of my tree, by the fruits of repentance, because the fruits of repentance undo the fruits of sin. So verse 44, every tree is known by its own fruit. That's why we have to get rid of the bad fruit in our own life, because we don't want to be known for that. That's why we publicly confess our sins when we do something publicly, because we want that fruit removed. We don't want it in our life. We don't want people to see us that way, so we make sure that they see the fruits of repentance so they know that fruit is gone. Men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Now, Jesus is not teaching here that we're sinless. John says in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and we make God a liar. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So when Jesus says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, he's not saying or affirming that we aren't struggling with those sins. But what he is saying is it's not going to stay there. And the next moment when God looks down, he's going to see a good tree again, because I took it off. I didn't want it there. I never wanted it there. But I put it there. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So watch yourself this week. Just watch how this works. You have a tree full of good fruit. You're a godly Christian. You're praying. You're serving the Lord. You're bringing forth all of this wonderful fruits of the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, on the road or in front of the television or talking to someone, here it comes. Anger, bitterness, greed, lust, desire. And before we can crush it, we've sowed it. And there it is. Here's this fruit on my tree. And what do I do next? Because it's there, and I can't leave it there. So, by their fruits. I found this picture yesterday. I thought it perfectly illustrated what I wanted to kind of talk about today, and that is that trees bear different fruits when we're humans. And if I look up and I see bananas, but I also see oranges and apples, and it looks like avocados and pears on the same tree, I'm confused. Now, you can do that if you cut a branch off of one tree and you graft it into the root of another tree. But I don't want any bad fruit. I couldn't find one. I looked for one with bad fruit, but they didn't have one like that. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So like I said, before we became a Christian, we had a tree full of fruit. And it was just like that tree we just saw. Here's the lust of the flesh, and here's the lust of the eyes, and here's the pride of life, and here's anger or bitterness or sexual desire or greed or jealousy and bitterness and cutting out from under people. And here I come into the Lord's church foul-mouthed and all of this terrible fruit. I'm ashamed of that. And you're ashamed of that. I don't want those fruits on my tree. So we were sowing to our flesh, planting the lusts we chose to activate. We planted the seed, and the fruit, the plant came forth, and the fruit was produced. So the roots of those temptations, they're still there. Now, we may have whittled them down to where they're almost non-existent. And I guess maybe some of us could actually affirm they're not there at all. I got rid of them. They were so disgusting when I did it, and I've never wanted to do it again. And I planted that seed, I produced that fruit, but it's gone. Here's a tree with 250 varieties of apples on one tree. what'd the guy do? Well, every year he put another four or five different apple branches onto his tree. And now he has a tree that will produce 250 varieties of apples. Now, fortunately, most of us don't have 250 varieties of lusts on our tree. But we do have different fruits that are there. Like I said, you lose your temper. You've created a fruit. Fruit of anger. Jesus said you're guilty of murder. If you speak derisively while you're traveling, you get somebody does something and you just say one rude thing about them, you just created a fruit. If you look at a woman to lust after her, if you have an opportunity to steal something and buy it up, or you don't tell somebody something, you got a fruit of a lie, or a fruit of sexual immorality, or a fruit of lust, or a fruit of... And I could just go on and on. I mean, if you can have 250 varieties of apples on the same tree, we can certainly have varieties of sin. But the amazing thing is that with some Christians, I got the fruits of the Spirit on there, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of them, is this vile, disgusting, despicable fruit. So, lusts can create different fruits on the same tree. Just like you plant a garden and you got all these beautiful plants in there, but all of a sudden here comes this weed. Well, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Do you see? Bear fruit to God, verse 4, very last few words. Bear fruit to death, verse 5, very last few words. Now, the sad reality is, brethren, that that doesn't just go away when we become a Christian. Now, in a very real sense, all of the ugly fruits that were there before, they're all broken off and they're all gone now, but I'm still a tree, and those lusts are still in the ground. And those branches are still on the tree. I've got this branch over here that can bear apples. I've got this branch over here that can bear one of those gourds that Elisha had in a pot that put death in the pot. So God had the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead so that we can bear the fruits of the Spirit. So we can bear the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the light, the fruit of godliness. But the sinful passions are at work in our members . So here's a verse that really helps us understand how we can put the fruits of Spirit in our life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So one of the fruits of the Spirit is the fruits of repentance. One of the fruits of the Spirit is putting to death the deeds of the body. So here's this fruit up here. Fruit of lying. You know, a lot of times, at the end of the sermon, I'll make the comment, if you have a sin that you haven't repented of, that fruit is still there. God doesn't want it there. And it's not helping you. You need to have the fruits of repentance. We pluck sinful fruits by our repentance. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. We could rephrase that. We have Christ as our Lord. Don't begin to say in yourself, you have Christ in your as your Lord. For I say to you that God is able of these to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So here's my tree. And I've got all these good fruits on there, but I've got a couple of bad fruits on there. And those bad fruits are enough to destroy all of the good. And so what do? I bear fruit. So I replace that sinful fruit with the fruit of repentance. So now I look up where that sinful fruit was, and I see a fruit of repentance because it's not there anymore. And every tree does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So what is the Lord asking from us here, brethren? What is he doing? Why did he give us the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit going to do? Well, the Holy Spirit is going to help me bring forth the fruits of repentance. The Holy Spirit is going to identify these evil fruits. Then he's going to show me how to remove them through repentance and confession. So I'm back in control of my destiny. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6, sin can't have dominion over you because you're not under law. You're under grace. You can get rid of that anytime you want. You can't. Sin cannot take control because you can remove it by repenting and confessing and turning away from it. So Paul describes these fruits. Godly sorrow, that's number one. The minute that fruit is there, I am bitterly disappointed in myself. I am bitterly disgusted in myself. I am so ashamed and so angry and frustrated. Matter of fact, look at the things in verse 11 there. Diligence, clearing of yourselves, indignation, fear, vehement desire, zeal, vindication. Those are the proper emotions that we should feel when we commit a sin. And we want to get it out as fast as we can. Brethren, that's just as much a part of the fruit of the Spirit as the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. This, in many respects, is one of the most important elements of the fruit of the Spirit. If by the Spirit we are putting to death the deeds of the body, we will live. How do you put them to death? Well, just like every fruit, you pluck it off. And if you leave it, it'll rot and it'll be destroyed. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. So, what are the fruits of repentance? Verse 11, observe this very thing. You sorrowed in a godly sort. And immediately it produced diligence in you. I've got to get this thing out of here. I got to look at it from every angle. Do I need to talk to anyone about this? Is anyone else aware of this? Can I bring it to the Lord? It's got to be gone as quick as possible. So the godly sorrow produces diligence. Then I need to clear myself. This is where public confession comes in. I need to clear myself. If I've sinned in front of someone, I need to go confess it to someone. If I've sinned publicly, I need to get myself cleared. Otherwise, a reputation is going to be built. Indignation. So angry. So angry with myself for letting that fruit come back. Fear. I could have lost my soul. Shame. Vehement desire. I'm never going to do this again. Zeal, vindication. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the fruits of repentance. Can we honestly say that that's on my tree? I have that on my tree. All of those bad fruits that used to be there are now replaced with the fruits of repentance, good fruits. I've changed that bad fruit into a good fruit through the fruits of repentance. And the fruits of repentance are very, very important to God. So if we don't feel these things, then they're not fruits of repentance. And the fruits are going to remain on the tree. And when we go before God, God's going to say, why didn't you take care of that? Holy Spirit directed you. You could have had fruits of the Spirit here. You could have had all these fruits of repentance. Because fruits of repentance are just as valuable to God. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who don't need repentance. Fruits of repentance are very important to God, and He wants to see them. And He's very happy and pleased when He sees them. Up to 70 times 7, up to 7 times in a day. God wants to see fruits of repentance. So He looks at the tree. Here's another example of a tree that has different fruits on it. Somebody grafted them all in there. But they're illustrative. Let's just say, for sake of the illustration of this sermon, that these dark ones are the fruits of repentance, and these light ones and these red ones are the natural fruits of the Spirit. They're good. But there's also fruits of repentance there. Places where there was sin, and there's not sin there anymore. There's repentance and there's confession. I want to compare two verses here. First one, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth, making it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Now, that's exactly what Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. But the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. So the word of God is going forth seeking the first part of that verse in verse 7. Drinking in the rain, bearing herbs useful, and receiving blessings. But then there's some Christians, and we've known them in the past, who have been here hearing the same sermons that we're listening to. And yet they bear thorns and briars. How did that happen? It happened because there were no fruits of repentance. You see, fruits of repentance are as good to God as the fruits of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, they're basically the same thing. So we're going to sin because the roots are still there, the branches are still grafted in, and every once in a while, in spite of our best efforts, it just pops out. And we don't say, it's not my fault. We say, I bought and paid for this in my past life. Fruit that I'm now ashamed of, but here it is again. Vehement desire, vindication, fear, godly sorrow, that's gone. I'm getting rid of that. I don't want to bear thorns and briars. I want to bear herbs useful. So it's all in our power. Either make the tree good and its fruit good. Now, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees who are accusing him of casting out demons by the power of Satan. And this is his answer. But there's a truth here that each one of us has control over. We can make the tree good and its fruit good. Or we can allow our tree to become bad and its fruit bad. And brethren, whether you like it or not, your tree is known by its fruit. Whether you have the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of repentance and a tree that's just beautiful to God, even though there were bad fruits there, they've been changed into fruits of repentance. And now we have a good tree bearing good fruit, even though the person with the tree is still committing sins, maybe 7 times a day, maybe 70 times 7. But the Lord says, as long as there's fruits of repentance, it's a good tree. But if you don't have those fruits of repentance, then you have a bad tree. As James said, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And yet here we are. One day, here at the building, I bless someone. On the way home, somebody cuts me off. I curse someone. Maybe not with a filthy word, but I still curse them. That ought not to be. And it can't stay that way. I got to get rid of that cursing and put up there a fruit of repentance in its place. And it's so sad, but it's always in our power to change the fruit of our tree or the salt in the fresh water. Now, it shouldn't be like that, and we don't want it to be like that. And the more godly sorrow we have when we do those things, the better, the happier God is going to be, because the more beautiful that fruit of repentance will be that is now in the place of that bad fruit that was there. I'm going to skip this one because we've already discussed that enough. So, we created our own unique blend of thistles and fruits, of vegetables and thorns, all in the same tree. Shouldn't be that way, but it is. If we're honest with ourselves, we can see it. I can see the good things I'm doing over here, and I can see the wicked things I'm doing over here, and I can see this tree, like that tree we saw in the beginning, and I think I'll have it up one more time here in just a moment, with bananas here, and apples here, and avocados here. And so as we compare the works of our own flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, you find your own unique blend. And you know something? For the most part, you're the only one who knows what that blend is. Most of us are pretty good. We've cut off all the outward stuff. It's mostly on the inside now. So here's what Paul says. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And yet we do fulfill the lust of the flesh, because at the moment we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, we're not walking in the Spirit. Verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Flesh doesn't want the control of the Spirit. The flesh wants to give in. The flesh wants satisfaction. The Spirit against the flesh. The Spirit does not want us giving in to the flesh, because if we give in to the flesh, we'll die. These are contrary to one another, and ultimately one is going to win and one's going to lose. And I hope that every one of us here wants the Spirit to win. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things which you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So look at your tree right now. Do you see any evil fruit on your tree as we talk about sins? Have any sins you haven't repented of? You haven't changed your evil fruit into fruits of repentance yet? You haven't gone through the process of godly sorrow and vehement desire and vindication and fear and frustration and bitterness and anger at yourself? Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, I want my Gentile friends and neighbors to see good fruits. I don't want them to see an angry, bitter, ungodly man. So, we are responsible. Let me throw these up real quickly. I beg you, abstain from fleshly lusts. You, therefore, put to death your members. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Verse 24, you put on the new man. Whatever fruit's on your tree and on my tree, it's there because I put it there. OK? Can't blame mom and dad. Can't blame Adam. Can't blame my friends and neighbors. I chose to put them there. And I can choose to take them off of there. I can have fruits of repentance, or I can have fruits of sin. And let's just remember, do not be deceived. God is not going to be mocked. You will, and I will, reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, and there's some of that fruit on my tree when I go before the Lord, I'm going to regret it for eternity. I'm going to wish that all he saw were fruits of repentance, but they weren't there because I didn't put them there. I just left the sins there. That's why repentance and confession are so crucial. Without exchanging the sinful fruit for the fruit of repentance, I don't have the fruits of the Spirit. Even if I have a whole section of my tree here that has all the fruits of the Spirit on, those other parts either make the tree good or make the tree bad. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. An evil tree cannot produce good fruit. It's not fixed. And so, we can change it at any time. So let's just remember, this is what your life looks like to God. Now, all we have here would be the fruits of the Spirit. You could say the bananas are love, the pears are joy, the apples are peace, and we could call that the fruits of the Spirit. But if you could just imagine that there's some thorns and thistles and some poisonous fruit on the other side, God knows me by my fruits, and he knows you by your fruits. So what do you think, brethren, as we finish the lesson? We're going to sing the song here in just a moment. What kind of tree do you have? Is it filled with fruits of repentance? Is it filled with sinful fruits that are still there? Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lust, but he understood that, what did he say? I buffet my body, break it into bondage. But was he always able to do that? He never claimed sinless perfection. But one thing I do, he said, forgetting what lies behind and stretching forward to what lies ahead. Now, between those two is where the fruits of the repentance come in. Forgetting what lies behind, but before we forget what lies behind, we change our evil fruits into fruits of repentance. And so as we pick up the song of encouragement, do you need to exchange some of your fruits? You need to have that godly sorrow producing vehement desire and vindication and clearing of ourselves and fear. Song number 322 is, I guess in many respects, dealing with somebody before they become a Christian. But I think some of us still have things in our lives that are broken that we could still bring to him, exchanging the fruits of sin for the fruits of repentance. If there's anyone in the audience today who either needs to bring Christ their broken life because they haven't obeyed the gospel, or because they're not living as the gospel would require them to live, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.